Well, Mabel Louise, I have a confession to make to you today.
Okay, I'll listen.
I goofed up yesterday. I was supposed to play the moo and the moo sound and have people call in. And somehow I got distracted with so many other things. So to make up for that, sometime this hour we'll do it.
Okay.
And one other thing.
So you want the people to be sure to listen.
Please be listening.
Okay.
I don't think that I'm going to do it in the middle of your talk. So
that's okay.
Just to give you a little confidence about that.
Maybe I could help you with the move.
Yeah, feel free.
Yeah. Well, you said it's a beautiful day. The song said it's a beautiful day. And I'm saying it's a beautiful day. Good day for a picnic, isn't it? And maybe even a ball game. And I'm going to be going to a ball game tonight and again tomorrow night for some of my great-grandchildren. I love it. They're all so precious. Well, the month of June is considered wedding month. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I was married in December, so I'm not sure that if I remember it, the months of our children getting married. But anyway, it's a good month, and you hear lots of advertising for weddings and places and things. So today I'm going to join the club and talk about a beautiful wedding that's all in detail. Chapter 24 of Genesis. Don't you dare leave me. You'll love this story. And I understand, tell you the truth, I went on Google to check to see if June was still the tops. And they said that September and October are climbing to the top because of cooler temperatures. Well, I'm going to be sharing about this wedding. And there are two verses that give us a reason for a 450-mile trip via a camel caravan. And that's kind of different, right? Well, here are two verses that tie right into this story. It's 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 1 Corinthians 6:39b. The first one, this chapter 6, says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 39b says, "Marry to whom you will, but marry only in the Lord." These two verses give us the background of a long trip and the reason a father sought a bride who loved the one true God. Yes, he wanted his son to marry a woman who worship the one true God, and together they could raise their children in the same faith and to love God. So that's the backdrop of this beautiful wedding and marriage and the birth of twins by a godly woman named Rebecca. Who says that there was not dating services during Bible times? This family went on the line, yes, the best line in the world. And that was the prayer line, yes. So, who doesn't love a beautiful story like this? And I'm excited to bring the story of Rebecca in two-part series. So many things to learn, so many lessons. But first, let me talk about the wedding. And then secondly, we will talk about the birth of twin boys named Esau and Jacob. It began like a fairy tale. A much-desired bachelor, the only son of a wealthy father, and the heir to a massive fortune, was looking for a wife. Even before Isaac was born, God had promised that he would have many children. God had also said that he would make an everlasting covenant with him and his descendants. This meant that God must do the leading in this special marriage. Isaac is the bachelor. He was 40 years old when his father, Abraham, made all the preparations of his wedding, even to the choosing of a bride. And of course, this was common in Bible times. The father was responsible not only to select the bride with the son's input, but also the father was responsible to pay the dowry. So in those days, you paid to have a bride. He sent Eliezer, his servant, the head of his servants, because he had many, to Mesopotamia, where Abraham had lived earlier in his life. That's where all of his family still resided. A lot of his relatives were still in that area. And it seemed to him that someone from within the family circle would certainly be the best choice for a good marriage. They would have the same background and religious training and would worship the only true God. Even though Isaac was living in Canaan, he was not allowed to marry a local woman because the Canaanites were considered heathen. In other words, they worshipped idols, and they did not want anything to do with the God that Isaac worshipped. And marrying an unbeliever would create an unequal pair in the Lord's sight. And I gave you that verse, marry whom you will, but marry in the Lord. Well, Abraham was certain that God himself would be in charge of the trip because he had prayed and he believed in prayer and a prayer answering God. I do too, don't you? He told his servant that the Lord would go before him and he would also send an angel to direct him. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do with you and me. He wants to go before us and guide us and direct us in our lives if we just get out of the way and let him. Well, the servant prepared a caravan of servants, of some of his fellow servants, and they selected 10 of their camels and made provisions for a long trip. And I checked the commentary, and that one said 550 miles, and another said 450. Well, either one is a long trip on a camel. I rode a camel for 2.5 miles in Cairo, Egypt, out to the Sphinx. And oh my goodness, it was such a rough ride compared to riding on a horse. Well, anyway, they headed out. And by the way, the servant, Eliza, that took the lead on this trip, believed in the same God, and he also believed in God's guidance. Well, when the servant arrived at where Abraham's brother lived, Eliezer went to the town water well, because after all, that's a place where the people gather every day. That's where they get their water for the family. And it was evening, and the women were coming out to get water for the night. He was no doubt asking himself, how in the world will I know which woman to talk to and to ask a question? Everything depended upon the Lord. Wasn't that good? And that's exactly the way it needs to be. So the servant prayed and asked the Lord that the girl he talks to would offer him a drink and also would be willing to water his camels. Now that would be something unusual to ask. Women in Bible times were very shy and when meeting strange men, so if a girl responded to his question, he could take this as the leading of the Lord, because they very rarely ever talked to one another. And I read on Google again that it requires 60 gallons of water for each camel. So Rebecca had a lot of work to do. And Eliezer had hardly finished praying when right in front of him was a beautiful girl. And she had a pitcher on her shoulder. And he said to her, he said to himself, whoa, do you think this might be Isaac's bride? And little did Rebecca dream that this was the beginning of her Cinderella story. So when he asked her for water to drink, she gladly responded and offered water to him. And then she said, I'll water your camels also. So after she'd watered the camels, Eliezer gave her gifts of gold. She knew he was from a rich family because all those camels and the servants were in the caravan. But little did she expect to be given such beautiful jewelry. Eliezer asked her a question, and he said, tell me, whose daughter are you? And she shared that she was the daughter of Bethuel, and Bethuel was the son of Malka and Nahor. Then he told her that he was from the family of Abraham, and of course she knew right away that he was a near relative. So she said, come to our home where there are lots of lodging. And Eliezer told Rebekah's father the entire story of why he had come and that he was in search for a wife for Isaac. And in this culture, it was up to the parents, of course, as I said, to pick a mate for their sons and daughters. Though the family had voiced their opinion as to the marriage, of course, the final word was up to Rebecca herself. So she gave an unconditional yes to the question. Will you go with this man? And the distance between her future home and her parents' home meant she probably would never, ever go back again. So Rebecca, the granddaughter of Nahor, showed the same quality of faith as Nahor's brother Abraham. When she knew God's will, she obeyed. You see, she was prepared to adjust her life to whatever was required by her future husband. Eliezer gave her beautiful gold gifts, and they loaded the camels with provisions for the long trip back to Cana, to Canaan land. And upon arrival, guess what? Isaac had gone out in the field to pray. No doubt he was as concerned as his father for having just to have God's choice for a wife. Well, Rebecca saw Isaac coming, and she quickly covered her face with a veil, for a bride never showed her face to the groom until after the wedding ceremony. Isaac's bride must have reminded him of his own mother. What a beautiful love story, especially as you see how God answered prayer and how the Lord worked out every single detail. I guess we can say that this marriage was made in heaven because the guardian angel went before them and arranged every detail. The faith that was exercised by each one involved in this love story is a beautiful testimony for each of us. So, on my next broadcast, I'll be telling you the rest of the story. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.